Welcome to season two of Coping Kit for Everyday Life. I'm Genevieve.
And I'm Michelle. This season's theme is change. Together, we will explore tools for coping with the ordinary and the extraordinary changes in life.
Hey, Michelle, good to see you. It's so nice to be back together again. How you doing?
Doing well. Good to see you as well.
All right. Well, today on our Coping Kit for Everyday Life podcast, this episode, we are going to talk about exercise and movement. So I have been exercising probably since my mid to late 20s. I have been fairly consistent with my exercise. Of course, when I was younger, I went much harder than I do now, that's for sure. But even as we age, our bodies require different types of exercise. Are you a regular exerciser?
I am not. I am not. I want to, but no, I'm not like a gym person. Like, I remember like you going to the gym and doing stuff like that. That is like never interests me at all. But I do believe in movement. So I do try to do moving, walking. I probably do walking more than anything else. You know, occasionally try to do some yoga, things like that, stretching. I think I'm that kind of stuff is what I tend to do versus the more cardio types of things.
Oh, I don't do any of that anymore. Now I mostly lift weights for my bone density as you get older. And yoga I do, and I mostly walk. So yeah, so you're doing fine. There's nothing, that's great that you're getting up and moving.
Yes, because it's the movement more than the exercise, I would say.
The most important thing about the exercise is getting up and moving our bodies, right? Especially, and we certainly during the pandemic, they talked a lot about how people were sitting for such long periods of time. And it was really important to get up and just even walk around, you know, for a few minutes, just go outside, change your perspective, move to a different room, even to sort of change the view on things. But there's definitely like, you know, there's health benefits to regular exercise. There's, you know, it helps our brains. It helps our bodies stay strong. Our cardiovascular helps keeps our heart strong. But I was also really thinking about one of the other things that exercise does is that it can also sort of, it improves our mood, right? Like when we get up and we start to move around. And I was thinking about, one of the things I was thinking about when I was doing research on this one was that when we worked in the hospital, or when I worked in the hospital, you still do, we often had kids who were on isolation or, you know, who were limited in how they could move around. Maybe they had a cast that limited their mobility, or even infants and toddlers who didn't have someone who could take them out of their room or were always laying in a certain position. Part of our job was to get kids out of those spaces, to change their position, to put them in a wagon and wheel them around the floor, and just that movement of changing the room, changing their viewpoint would create a perspective for a kid and change their mood. They would be happier once they got out of that space and into a different, even if leaving the room to just go to the hallway, right? And I was thinking about the ways in which that just moving ourselves or moving our bodies can have such an impact from kind of a small thing that maybe we should be looking at how to do more of that in our own lives.
Yeah, it's so true. Cause I do think about the kids, like, you know, putting them from the bed to the chair if they're a kid who couldn't leave the room, where it's the kid that you could actually bring to the playroom and then they could explore the playroom. Or even some of our patients who have been there so long term, like bring them to the garden because they hadn't been outside.
That's right.
Going outside, just feeling that air, you know, just how it just changes your mood altogether. I do think about like what you were saying, for me, COVID didn't change. I went to work every day, but I think the importance of moving around, like even now my job is a lot of meetings, a lot of Zoom meetings, whatever. So most of the time is sitting. So I do try to make a point of getting up and walking around to see my team adversely. I can go on the phone, but you know, get up and like, oh, like you could call me for that. But I really do like that movement. Kind of helpful. And it also changes your mood. Sometimes, you know, just kind of just those silly stretches you do. Sometimes like stretch where, you know, I'll kind of like do something like a silly dance or something like when I'm like with my team and it's like, okay, you know, just to kind of something about that movement. Like it does change your mood. It makes you laugh sometimes because, you know, you and I can be goofy sometimes. But just that sometimes it's so helpful. I don't think like with kids, like we do like all of a sudden have them moving around, marching in place or doing something, like how it, you know, changes.
Right.
Think about what Simon Says. Like, you know, that silly game that you did as a kid, but like all of a sudden you like get into that. Simon Says do this, Simon Says do that. But
that's actually boosting your executive functioning skills, because you have to think so hard about what someone's saying and what they're doing. So that actually is part of that whole like regrowing those cognitive lines within your brain, those cells that we need as we get older, right? Well, we need them all the time, but we lose them as we get older.
I think maybe I need to start playing some more Simon
Says. Some more Simon Says. But I was also, but you brought up a good point about like the dancing and the moving and how that can change our moods. And I was thinking about like how movement is also an expression of our mood or an expression of our feelings. And, you know, we often, sometimes we tell kids like, in the hospital, we certainly have used it as a way to say, you know, pound it out, or, you know, like, here, punch this to get those feelings out, or throw this at something, right? That those are all ways that we express how we're feeling, right? And in that expression of how we're feeling, we're also just sort of releasing that tension or letting go of that anxiety and, you know, that anxiousness around or nervousness around something or anger about something, right? That we can use it as a way, that movement we can use as a way to really relieve ourselves of some heavy feelings that we're having, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think sometimes, you know, how many times have you been in a situation, maybe a conflict or something going on, that you get up and you have to take a walk just to clear your head? Like sometimes it's just helpful to, like, you know, just bring yourself to a different space. Even like, you know, like stretching, like we're talking about right now, my back is killing me. That's why I keep stretching. But, you know, like that, something about that movement kind of just changes.
Well, think about what you just did, right? Like that opening of your heart, right? That even doing that, like even when you think about yoga poses, there are lots of yoga poses that they do that are heart opening, that are designed really to not only increase your breath that you're taking in, but also to open up your heart and open up yours, which helps to open up your mind and your heart for compassion, compassion for yourself, compassion for others, welcoming others, right? I also was thinking about dance. And, you know, certainly there's that whole, like, the Grey's Anatomy episode where they dance it out, you know, the two main characters dance it out all the time. But although they aren't the originators of that by any means, I think they popularized it. But dance is something that, like, you know, we dance in celebration. We can dance to show sadness. I was thinking, you know, about, you know, ballet or contemporary or even jazz and the ways in which that can demonstrate a feeling and an emotion, so much so that can make you actually cry or make you laugh or make you, you know, enjoying something, that can be a way that we can share. You know, we often share how we're feeling through our body movements, but it can also be a way to like express how we are feeling or to identify how someone else is and maybe connect with something like that that's beyond and outside of ourselves even. I'm getting very esoteric about this.
But yeah, something, right, that's beautiful about dance. And like you said, like so much emotion, be it a ballet or like I think about Alvin Ailey, probably every time I go to see him, just the, you know, just watching like all the emotions that some things, you know, watching the movie makes you just very happy and then some of it makes you very sad or all kinds of feelings. But yeah, like that movement, like it has meaning. I have a cousin who's a dancer and like, you know, I've known him all my life, but like when I watch him, like I'm at awe, like you just like mesmerized by watching his movement. But I watch him in 1 minute, I could be in tears just by, you know, what he's doing. And then the next minute, you know, the happiness. But yeah, it's something just beautiful about that.
It also makes me think about, this literally just came to me while we were talking, but it makes me think about the ways in which that observing someone, right? Like really watching for that. Like how close do we pay attention to people's facial cues, you know, or their body language to better understand what, you know, to get that full picture of someone, right? And like when you were just talking about your cousin and dance and the ways in which that, you know, they were able to embody those emotions to a point that you became emotional watching them, right? Like that's really powerful. But that also speaks to not only your cousin's skill as a dancer, but also the ways in which that we can observe others and take note of others and recognize when someone may need something from us more than, you know, that someone may need a hug from us or someone may need us to take them out of that room. They may need that perspective, right? Like, I mean, the reason we understood kids when they needed to be out of a room was because they were telling us in very physical ways, I need to get out of this room, right? Like they were, you know, angry, upset, bored, right? Withdrawn, pulling away. And it's like, you know what? We need to change a pace. We need to get out of this space, even if it's to the chair or even if it's to the hallway or to the playroom for a private session or something, right? That we were observant of that to recognize when someone is telling us something without telling us in words, right?
Well, we all know that, well, maybe we don't all know, but pretty much most of communication is nonverbal.
Mm-hmm.
So this, you know, like this about someone's body language does say something. And if we're observant of that, how we can, you know, be supportive to someone or just realize like someone needs to kind of move out of that space.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just change it around. Or even ourselves, like how is my posture? Like, you know, am I closed arm for a reason? Like, am I trying to hold something in or maybe then the need to like release that? Also ask the same thing of yourself, like, when you're sitting or standing or the position you're in, like, what are you feeling? Because your body also tells you something
about
how you're feeling. So always try to be in tune to that. If you're
sitting,
so like, okay, what is that? Like, how does that emotion feel in my body? Like, if I'm angry, how does that feel in my body? If I'm happy, how does that feel in my body? Like, knowing, like, what that is, how those emotions feel in your body, I think are also important, too.
Oh, that's a good point. And even that our bodies give us messages, right? Like, so if you're uncomfortable in a position, that means you should move, right? We're both Reiki practitioners, and we've often been taught that people always say, how do you know when to move your hands? And it's like, you just know. And I can remember being told, like, well, if you're uncomfortable in the position that you're standing, or if you're uncomfortable in the position that you're in doing it, that's an indicator that you also need to change what you are doing, right? And that you'll know when to move those hands. And I think that that's true, that it's just sort of, okay, sometimes when I'm working on something, I'll be so leaned in, so focused, so whatever, that I won't realize. And all of a sudden, I'll be like, oh my God, I got this terrible crick in my back, right? Like, so it's an indicator, like, you need to move your body. You need to change your shape, your perspective, get a new look on things, right? Like, look out the window for a minute, get up and walk around. It's really interesting. And I love this idea of moving, not only providing us with a perspective change and shift, but also a way to, that movement is a way to express our feelings, a way to recognize what, and to look at others, right? And what their experience is. I think it's really kind of cool. I don't know. It's interesting to think about, right?
Yeah, it's very interesting to think about the movement and like what it can mean for yourself, but what it can mean in others. And also how you communicate with others too.
Mm-hmm.
All of that together. And I also think about when we think about this topic too, is like, for me, like I mentioned earlier, I've never been the gym person, not my thing, but walking, like I feel like walking can be so help, like stress relief, like a stress reliever kind of thing. So, or also great, clear your mind. There's a lake not too far from here. I've been trying to walk at the lake, and like sometimes just really just being in that space and just take in, being in the moment too, just looking at the trees. Oakland has, I have to say, beautiful trees. Just so different than in New York. And sometimes I sit and this tree actually, this is kind of cool. You know, just the way it's formed and, you know, some of these trees you can actually like, sit in them, like try to take a little selfie. But yeah, it's like so cool to me. So like just being able to like just be in the moment as you're walking and just taking that in. So you get into exercise, but that's that I think that movement does so much more.
Yeah.
Also, kind of just, again, you know, kind of like a stress reliever, clearing your mind. I'm also, too, sometimes while I'm walking, you know, kind of helps you to come up with ideas, create, you know, improve your creativity as well. So I feel like so much can happen in that time.
Yeah. Well, we're trying so hard to like think of something when we're in like this sort of workspace that sometimes it's like, oh, and then when you go change that space, that's when the ideas come, right?
Like that is some clearer.
My walks. Yeah. I can remember when I lived in the city and I had my little dog Hudson, who you might recall. May he rest in peace. He's long gone now. But one of the things that I used to always do is I went to the dog park with him. And so that dog did get me out of my apartment. And I met so many people by walking this dog and taking him to the dog park. And I made great friends who I have still to this day, even though those dogs are all long gone. Many of us are on second and third ones. But
yeah.
I used to go to the dog park and I would throw the ball. I would throw the ball, the Frisbee, whatever, for this little tiny 7-pound Yorkie. But it was in those moments that I would often have like a great idea or an epiphany about a problem I was trying to solve, right? Like it was because you've removed yourself from whatever was stressing or trying to figure it out. You change your perspective. You move to a different space. You're moving your body physically, right? So I'm getting that exercise, that the cool air or the warm air, whatever temperature it was, which is another thing. When you go outside, certainly in the cold weather, that cold air can be a nervous system reset for your body. So that also changes, right? So that also can cause that kind of like, oh, okay, now I can see a different viewpoint. I can understand a different perspective. I can imagine a different approach to something, right? Pretty powerful, actually, when you think about such a simple thing, like, you know, stretching your shoulders. And I often tell people when they're taking the certification exam that every 20 minutes they need to sit up because they're going to sit like this hunched over that computer with their lungs all closed and not oxygenating their brains, to sit up, roll their shoulders back, take a couple of big deep breaths, get that oxygen flowing, the blood flow moving again in their bodies, and then they can go back to answering some more questions. They should do that probably every 20, 30 minutes of that exam. So, well, there's your exam tip.
Yeah, exactly. Or even when you're in that meeting or any of those.
Or someone's saying something that you're getting frustrated by, right?
Those difficult conversations.
That's right. Moving your body.
Moving your body, I think, definitely is a great thing. Going for a walk. Just clearing your head, you know, talked about yoga poses, you know, deep breathing exercises, stretching, all of that is all forms of movement. And then, you know, in as you're going through change, like you may also look at maybe how does that help you also, like that movement. And maybe you need different types of movement. Like for me, now I'm taking the walks to the lake where I didn't really walk to the lake before. So like getting movement in a different place, a different environment, changing the scenery. I think for me, I feel like I'll be doing and want to continue to do a lot of exploration of where I live. And because a lot of times it's funny, we live in a place, but we never really explore it.
We go to places
all the time. So, you know, movement could be even finding different places, like changing your scenery is part of movement part two. So looking at other places that you can explore by yourself, or like you talked about earlier, how you went to the dog park and you made friends. So sometimes in your movement and where you're going, you can also meet people there. But we talked earlier, you know, talking about building friendships. So sometimes friendships may come out of those places where you go.
You never know.
To get that movement, that exercise. So you never know like how all of that could happen as well.
So Rochelle, what's your takeaway?
My takeaway is changing your location. I think that's what stuck to me, like when you're moving, because I feel like I'm in this new place. And I want to be intentional of really trying to see all the different areas and places and locations that are in Oakland. And just, you know, I can't walk to them all because I love to walk everywhere, but just really just being able to explore and changing my location. Because I think when you change your location, that movement changes your perspective. So I think that's kind of what I took out of this.
All right. My takeaway, yeah, is that also is this idea of I have a tendency to do the same walk all the time because I'm always afraid I'm going to get lost somewhere, but to explore some different places to walk around and experience. But I was also thinking about this idea of really being observant of others and noticing the ways in which that people move their own bodies and what they're telling me from that. When I'm in conversation with them, to recognize, is someone uncomfortable with what I'm saying? Is someone like what I'm saying? Is someone okay with what's going on here? Like to be just much more in tune, maybe, and also with myself and the messages I'm putting out. Like, am I saying to people I'm a closed off person? Am I telling people that I'm open, right? How am I showing that to others also? So that's sort of my takeaway. And I was thinking that a sort of reflection for others who are listening to our episode might be to, you know, with some exercise, start small, go on a walk, do some stretching, get up and walk around when you're on the phone, or take a break every 10 minutes. That could be your play break, right? Your play break can be your movement that we talked about in other episodes, right? So combining some of these things together. And another thing I was thinking about was if you have children, or maybe there are children in your life, but play that would be willing to play this with you, but thinking about emotions charades, right? How do we act out emotions? How do we read facial cues or body language about how someone is feeling? And making that a game with children can be a great way to really support and help children understanding emotions and people's facial cues, but also just a fun way to learn how each other expresses those feelings as well. So trying that out as part of your reflective activity after today's episode.
Yeah, love the idea. So definitely try one of these reflective exercises for fun.
Yeah. Let us know how it goes.
Definitely, we're always wanting to hear what you think about the episode or any ideas for any future episodes. You'll have all that information so you reach out, because we love to hear from you.
All right. All right, Rochelle. Well, this was a great talk. This was really interesting. And I look forward to our future episodes, and I'll see you soon.
See you soon.
Bye, everybody.